Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning. Keith over here broadcasting Pensacola Business Radio. I have four great guests in our studio this morning here today. I've got Aaron Caden from Green Clean Detail.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Glad you're here. I've got Lance Cook from Rubber and Specialties Incorporated.
Hey, everyone.
I've got Trudy O'Brien from Capstone Adaptive Learning and Therapy Centers.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I've got Mike, who's sort of sliding off mic here, but he is owner for Coastal Payment Systems. Go ahead. Feel free.
Good morning.
So I want to thank all of you for coming out today and being a part of Pensacola Business Radio. And I really, let's start sharing what you guys do. So, Aaron, you've got Green Clean Detail.
Yeah. Well, we're an ecologically friendly detail company. We are only here in Pensacola. It's my husband who does all the work, really. I just pick up the phones and get to do fun stuff like talk on the radio.
Yeah. So I heard you got recruited a couple of days ago. Is that it? Because you guys are growing, right?
It was about a month ago that, yeah, he came to me and was like, Aaron, I don't want to pick up the phone anymore. So you're going to do everything.
Yeah. So why green? Why eco-friendly?
You know, we were looking for kind of a niche market. We were really looking to do something a little bit different. And Ben's been cleaning cars for a pretty long time. It's been almost 15 years now. He does a great job. It's just him. He worked for dealerships and then he worked for another mobile company. And he was never really happy with the quality of things. And he just working for yourself, he can put a lot more effort and a lot more care into stuff.
So, and he's doing mobile. So he's going to wherever that car is or the dealer or, and getting things done and detailed for them.
Yeah. Home offices. He goes to businesses all the time, law offices. He just needs three spaces to work in.
Yeah.
He's happy to move cars around. Like I said, he worked at dealerships and stuff and those cars, sometimes they had to climb out of the back windows. They like those cars to be stacked in close. So
I want to know, so obviously you guys are, you're green, so you're eco-friendly, which I think is huge for some people, but I don't think they realize, especially here on the Gulf Coast, how low the water table is to us. So being able to do that kind of stuff outside with detergents and things that aren't going to hurt the environment, I think is really cool. And really sort of separates you guys from the rest. But I know you guys do some, what are some other offerings and prices? Like, how do you guys package yourselves?
Well, whenever you contact a detail company, they tend to have a whole lot of different things that you can do. And we're really simple. It's either a wash or a full detail. You can do half of a detail. So you can do just the interior or just the exterior. But he really cleans them like, you feel like you're getting into a new car whenever he's done doing it. And it's about $100 for a half detail. It's $200 for the full detail. And washes are $30 to $40 for cars or trucks. And a wash is just a quick – he does a lot of people where they want their car cleaned every other week.
Right.
So that's like a maintenance thing. Every other week you get your car washed and whenever you need
it. So we can sign you guys on for like a year, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you get basically like memberships.
Yeah, we do. We have a few clients actually who pay us once
a year.
That's
really cool.
We go there every 2 weeks and
And clean up all the mess from the kids and everything
that's
else.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, especially around Halloween with all the candy in the backseat.
Yeah, the lollipops that got
melted
left.
Crayons. Those ones are popular in Florida.
So, and okay, so we're talking green. So you guys obviously have some pretty cool detergents and stuff that's safe, but I also see that you guys are doing some solar powered stuff.
We do. Yeah, the solar power is awesome. We had an ambulance for about a year and a half, and the ambulance was just like a huge box truck and had all these compartments. So we bought these solar panels and glued them to the roof, and that was what you powered the pressure washer, the vacuum, the everything was running on solar. And he's just kind of downsized. The ambulance was huge. So
oh,
it
downsized sure.
to a
and
van.
Like 7 miles to the gallon, too.
Yeah,
so you're kind of fighting yourself there.
Well, the cool thing about that, too, though, the ambulance, there's a long thing I can get into, but it ran on vegetable oil primarily.
Really?
And, well, he had a 2-tank system in it, so it was set up cool. It was already a diesel. His previous truck was a farm truck that ran on vegetable oil. I've had an old BMW and an old Jetta. My Jetta engine is in my yard because I couldn't bear to lose my first oil burner. It grows flowers. They're beautiful.
Very cool.
Pansies and zinnias. But yeah, so the ambulance ran on vegetable oil, and it was getting about 9 miles a gallon, which is about pathetic.
Yeah.
And so downsizing, it's a Nissan van, and I want to say he gets about 30, 32.
Yeah, okay.
Which is doing a lot better.
Has he got solar panels glued to the top of that?
Solar panels, yeah. And very cool. And the solar panels are already, they're already all put in. I did all the wiring on
nice.
Them.
Oh, see, so you do more than answer the phones.
I
got to give yourself
some
credit.
I do almost everything, except for actually go and clean the cars.
Okay, so you've got solar-powered equipment. You've got green detergents and stuff that you use. I don't know anyone else, and I've never heard of anyone else doing
it's
stuff like
unique.
This. Yeah, it's very cool.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Where can somebody go if they want to contact you, or just tell me you got a picture of the truck on the website?
We have lots of pictures of that ambulance. They're all over Facebook. I love that ambulance.
Yeah.
I still have pictures that I haven't posted of it because I don't want to let it go.
I
want to like
very
turn
nostalgic.
It into an RV and leave all the stickers and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love it. I want it in my life.
So where do we send them if somebody else wants to share that experience?
You can check out Green Clean. It's spelled with all E's. So GreenCleanDetail.com. You can go and find us on Facebook, Green Clean Detail. We're at Green Clean Florida on Twitter and on Instagram.
Very cool. Okay, so go and check out the ambulance. Check out the solar panels. I know I'm going to have to take a look at it. I've never seen a car just strapped with some solar panels and ready to go. But you guys are you're booked out about 2 weeks now, yeah?
Yeah, I'm keeping them pretty busy. It's about 2 weeks out that I'm booking appointments now.
Okay, so you know, I know we talked about just doing it once or just doing it twice, but what are you guys finding with your clients has been the most successful for them?
It genuinely just depends on you and the way that you feel about your car, because we have people who call us once a year. They call us every year and they get a full detail. The car gets waxed and it lives under a carport or in the garage. So it's not getting like tree sap or pollen, all that kind of gunk. If it's something living outside, especially if it's living under trees, they might call us twice a year to get a full detail. And then we have people who I have a client who gets his car washed every 2 weeks. He gets his wife's car washed once a month, and her car gets a full detail every
Wait, how come she only gets once a month and he gets every other week?
I guess she doesn't use the car as much. She's hanging out, and her car lives in their garage.
Okay.
And his car's going to work and
doing. All right, fair enough.
At least that's the way I hear it. I don't know. I'm with you. I like my car.
Yeah.
Although I'm responsible.
Well, see, like, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Keep your car clean.
You got to do your own. So, I am a huge keep your car clean fan. So I am trying, and I have kids. So at least once a week, I'm definitely hitting it with the vacuum and that kind of stuff. So now I'm going to have to check out solar powered car cleaning because maybe I won't have to do it anymore. Maybe Ben can do mine.
Keeping it clean like that is nice. It feels so good to have like a deep clean, have somebody go in and scrub everything.
Now I just got to fix the dent in the side.
We're thinking about dent removal.
Oh,
actually,
there you go. See?
Thank you right there. We've just kind of started to look into dent removal. He's done a couple of minor things. And then a few weeks ago, he went and bought the entire dent removal package. And so he's watching all the videos. And then he's got a couple courses he's got to go to.
Yeah.
And
well, and so, and you said Ben's been doing this stuff with car dealerships for forever. So it's not... People don't get the wrong idea. Oh, you're going to watch a video and figure it out. Ben's actually got a lot of experience doing this
kind
of stuff.
He was about 16 whenever he started at a dealership, and they used to do dent removal and paint correction. So he had about 6 years before he left the dealership and started doing, mobile detailing for somebody else. But they used to do, like, they had a paint room at that place.
Right.
It was back in Charlotte. And, so they had to do a lot. Ben has, it's kind of impressive to look back and think about all the stuff that he used to do.
Yeah.
And
very
all
cool.
Like those crazy chemicals. Oh.
That he's still alive.
Right. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That he has fingerprints. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to say, I mean, you somebody that has done that kind of stuff and has been around all of that, and then to turn around and say, you know, there's a better way to do this. There's a cleaner way to do this. And for you guys to have made that happen, congratulations. Very cool.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're going on 5 years now.
Yeah.
So it's working out.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's
cool
that Pensacola is interested in hearing about it and keeping their cars clean.
Well, hopefully we'll get you some more business after today.
Thanks.
So Mike said he's signing up for a year. He just didn't know it yet. So, Aaron, let's tell him one more time where everybody can find you.
Go ahead to greencleandetail.com. It's spelled GreenCleanDetail, so all E's. And then at Green Clean Florida on Twitter and Instagram. And you can go to Green Clean Detail on Pinterest. And yeah, greencleandetail.com.
Yeah.
All these.
That's it. So thanks for coming on with us this morning. Hang out for a little while.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. So, okay, so we're going to get right into you, Lance Cook. Rubber and Specialties Incorporated, man.
That's right.
So we met at the chamber and you had a really cool thing going on, which I think we're going to get into, but let's talk about the history of Rubber and Specialties. They're a huge company here in Pensacola.
That's a wonderful statement. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. I mean, you guys are. I didn't realize this until you and I started talking, but I mean, if you think about everything that rubber and plastic is in, and you guys sell it, right?
Yes. Yes. Now, as far as the history goes, in 1975 is whenever my grandfather started the company. Moved down from Texas, was looking into markets in Jacksonville and here, and loved the area, loved the market. So we got into it. And since then, it's grown to 6 branches between Pensacola, Panama City, Mobile, Montgomery, Birmingham, and Pascagoula. But unfortunately, this year makes 40 years that we've been in business.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it because in February he passed away.
Yeah.
But the gentleman who was his vice president, Mike Lentz, he stepped up and he's the president now. There couldn't be a better man to serve under.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad to be there. It's a great time for the company as we move forward into the future.
Yeah. And then you guys still have a lot of family that works with you, or are you the last one?
I'm the last of the Cook Mohicans.
Yeah.
That is. Except since February, my father, he had worked here for 30 years, mm-hmm. But then had an opportunity to chase his dreams in aviation. Since my grandfather's passing, he came back in as vice president.
Very cool.
Not there all the time, just filling the role while still chasing his other
dreams. Vice president shouldn't have to be there all the time. I've decided long ago they should be out playing golf and getting clients. So, well, very cool. So let's talk about your personal history, because I think that'll help lead up to the really cool. It's an app. We'll just go ahead and throw it out there, but the really cool app that you guys are working on. So,
well, my personal history.
Yeah.
Okay. A long, long time ago,
yeah,
I was born
in a galaxy far, far away. Yeah.
No, I grew up in Chemukla, which was, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Small town, small high school, and home of the Redneck Parade.
Yeah.
If any locals have heard of the Redneck Parade,
then they've heard of it. Yeah. Well, I think that's it though. If you're local, you have heard of it.
Yeah. Well, actually, the crazy thing was it started off as a joke that my dad made.
Yeah.
My father, he wrote this satire news article that stayed in a little country store there in Chemukla. And I feel like I'm getting way off topic.
That's all right.
But anyways, it's a pretty cool story. It was a complete joke. But people started asking, we missed the parade. There was no parade.
They thought it was.
So then the next year, they said, we're going to have a parade.
Yeah. Very cool.
And it grew. Folks started calling from all over the country to come down and be a part of the Redneck Parade.
Yeah.
You know.
So how does growing up in Chemukla and your dad and your grandfather, I mean, how did they just got in at the right time, right? I mean, some eureka moment happened. He said, look, this is going to be a huge industry. And
yes.
We're going to get in at the bottom floor.
In the mid-70s, while there was still a lot of industrial growth around here.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some – the plants, IP was here. It was St. Regis at the time.
Right.
IP, Armstrong. There were a lot of plants and mills that were around, and there wasn't much competition at the time.
Sure.
So we moved in.
Yeah. And took off.
Yeah, it did grow. It did grow. It's a very strong, very, very strong company.
Yeah.
I mean, there's large competitors. There is. But still, as a small business, a lot of folks like to turn to us because we can answer calls on a dime.
Yeah, and really serve people too. I think and you and I, we met and we talked and we hit it off. So if you're the guy out there, if anybody else in the company's hitting it like you are, then I can understand why. You know what I mean? So let's enlighten everybody, because I had no idea. I guess this isn't something you think about every day, but there is rubber and the specialty products that you guys have in just about everything that's out there today.
Right. Yeah. And I was talking about this the other day, with some folks, but while a hydraulic hose might seem like a fairly minor thing, it might be $50, $60, $100, $200 for this hydraulic hose, But it takes a hydraulic hose on the crane at Gulf Power to lift the coal off the docks to power the plant.
Right.
And that's just a small piece to a big puzzle.
Right.
And it's really cool whenever I think about it in those terms that we get to serve the community in that respect.
You're the cog in the wheel, man. You
right.
really are.
Right. And, you know, we do a lot of things for ECUA,
yeah.
all the plants around here. And while it's just a small piece to a big puzzle, it's really neat to think about that I had a part in that.
Yeah.
In these lights, in this electricity that's coming through.
But even, I mean, the washers in your sinks. Right.
Oh,
the,
yeah. There's
the,
hoses.
The rubber tabs that hold your door panels on in your
right,
car.
Right. There's things like that.
Yeah.
And those are things that we can do through our custom mold and extruded products.
Yeah.
As well.
So what? Okay. So you got custom mold. You've got the industrial piece. Where else?
Right. The core four products would be hoses, belts, fittings, seals.
Yeah.
And it goes into a lot of other things, expansion joints, and all this is really geared for the industrial market.
Yeah. And I guess if you're not in that industrial market. I mean, and like me, I mean, I thought I never, who's going to need a belt drive until the belt drive's gone? You know what I mean?
Not necessarily, because there's been some really wild, unique applications that have come through our doors.
Okay. So you guys can custom do stuff then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But folks have bought sheet rubber. This has probably been 15 years ago. I remember this. They were more from like the goth type.
Okay.
Group of folks.
Sure.
They were buying sheet rubber to make clothes.
Okay. Okay, I get it.
What in the world? To me, I don't get it.
Yeah.
if there's not buckles, boots, and spurs in my store,
right.
I don't know where I am. sports. There's a gentleman around here now that's buying sheet rubber for baseball fields. I can't remember the product he's making, but it's going into youth baseball fields.
Yeah, well, a lot of times they'll have it behind the plate so it'll catch the ball
in the
batting cages.
Exactly.
I've also seen it strung where it's strung really tight so a pitcher can pitch it against the rubber and let it bounce back as if somebody hit it a line drive right to him.
I was taking my daughter to the park a couple weeks ago, and there was this bouncing bridge that was made out of a piece of conveyor belt.
Very cool. Very cool.
And then there's this one little kid. I think he was in high school. He would come by and buy O-rings. He could buy 100 of them for a dollar.
Yeah.
It's cheap. And then you take them to school and sell bracelets.
Ah, there you
go. Make 20 or 30 bucks.
Yeah. That's a good move.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's better than the bubble gum. We used to get in trouble for selling the bubble gum. So, well, okay. So let's get into what I think struck up our conversation to begin with, because I think this is absolutely ingenious. So you're developing an app.
Right. The app was really an idea to solve a problem of my own, because I'm an outside salesman. So I go to customer shops and we stock fittings and parts in their bins. And, it was a tool to where I can go there, scan the bin labels, send it to my inside sales guy, go into the next location. I didn't have anything like that. Most of the products out there were all tied in through API connections or into our order entry system. And it was a really, really expensive investment. Going e-commerce, you know, going full on.
But, right. Having numbers for everything and scanning and all that kind of
bar
stuff.
Barcodes and things like that. So I was like, it's got to be easier. There's got to be an easier way. There's got to be a less expensive way to do this.
You just made one.
So I spend a lot of time on the road. So just thinking a lot.
Yeah. That happens when you travel. I know. I used to travel a lot too. I got you.
So I just started putting together the idea and then found a developer and he's helped me build it out. And it's a very simple tool. You just select whether or not you're trying to make a quote, an order.
Right.
You build a list out. You scan the label. How many of those parts you want.
Right.
And then whether it's to be shipped, delivered, picked up, something like that.
Right.
Submit it. And then the recipient receives it in an email. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a fairly inexpensive tool. It's a very easy tool.
Right. But it puts all those pieces together when you're right there on the scene.
Yeah. And so the idea as this is being built out is where I can label it with my own logo.
Right.
And give it to a customer and say, here, customer, you now have the Rubber and Specialties app, or you now have ABC Plumbing Company's app.
Right.
Feel free to scan your labels and send us the order.
Right. So instead of having to come down to see you guys, or you guys going out there to make sure everybody's got the pieces, they can literally, the piece breaks, order the piece, and then you guys can deliver it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Talk about awesome streamlining. So, and I know we had also talked, and I'm not sure if you've furthered this technology, but you said you had designed something in it where you can just take a picture. of something right, and get it sent to you guys as well.
That is the same.
Cause thing. I got no idea what Q3, C4 is,
Right.
But I need that piece to make things run.
Right. And that's the way this works.
Yeah. So what's left? When's it going to be available? What Soon. Else do you need to get it finished?
Well, we're right now kind of changed gears to make more of a minimum viable product.
Yeah.
But, funding would help to make it a full sure. all out product. And, so we're taking steps towards that. So funding would be a great thing to where I can have a much more elaborate product.
Yeah.
That would serve more customers better.
Yeah. Are you finding anything else like this in the market as you've started developing
it? As far as I've seen, most of the label scanners are all barcode.
Yeah.
Which then there has to be a list on the back end.
Right.
Built into it that ties into an order entry system. But my app doesn't need all that.
Yeah. That's going to come when simple. You take that picture when you scan the mm-hmm. code of the product, huh?
Yeah. And I'm, thinking about it and some of the objections where it's just a picture. Why don't I take a picture? Okay. You can take pictures and add them to an attachment, as attachments. But then you'll have to list out
right
how many of each one that you want. This is really for, I keep boxes and bins of multiple products.
Right.
You create the list.
Yeah.
And each.
And sort of inventory it per customer.
Yeah. Per yeah. item. Right.
Yeah. Very cool, man. Well, if somebody needs rubber and somebody doesn't even know that they need rubber and specialties, but we need to go ahead and send them for them to find out. Where are we sending them to?
Well, the easiest way would be our website address, rubberandspecialties.com. It's all spelled out, all lowercase. Rubberandspecialties.com. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook myself, and most of what I do is for work anyways.
Yeah. So if we want to send somebody who might be interested in talking with you about the app, where are we going to send them?
EasyRec.com. That's easy, R-E-Q.
A-P-P.
A-P-P.
Yeah. I've got the paper in front of me. That's all right. I've got the paper in front of me. Lance does not. So.
yeah, EasyRecApp.com.
Yeah. Okay. Well, man, thanks for coming in today and sharing your story. And hopefully you'll invite me to the next parade. And we'll come hang out with you.
Unfortunately, there are no more.
So hang out for a little while with us?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. That brings me to our next guest, Trudy O'Brien from Capstone. How are you?
I am too good. How about you?
I'm good. I saw you over there kind of taking pictures and making sure everybody knows you're here, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool. Well, tell us what Capstone does.
Capstone Adaptive Learning and Therapy Centers used to be known as United Cerebral Palsy of Northwest Florida up until about a year and a half ago. We changed our name. We've been around since 1953. Our mission is to serve children all the way through adults who have developmental disabilities. So that could be autism, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, intellectual disability. It covers an array of conditions that an individual can have, and it's usually something that occurs before their 18th birthday.
Yeah.
Somebody with a disability that's acquired, say, in a car accident later in life, those are not the individuals we serve, although we are more than happy to try to help them get directed to
right.
those groups in the Pensacola area.
Why the name change?
Well, our clients don't necessarily like to be identified as a disability.
Yeah.
They like to be identified as Tim, Ben, sure. Dave, yeah. Sally, whatever. And United Cerebral Palsy didn't really say what we do. We
right.
have educational programs. We provide therapies for individuals with disabilities. That's one aspect of it. The flip side of it is we were part of a national association, and of course there's dues associated with that,
right.
and you pay a little bit to be able to use the logo, and so it was a cost savings.
Yeah.
Of the last 10, 12 years, funding streams have cut their reimbursement rates. So you look at where you can save money.
Right.
We had a wonderful group of volunteers do a brainstorm session on what we should be called. In 2010, we started a charter school called Capstone Academy
yeah.
because we didn't want those children to go to a school that says, I have a disability.
Right.
And it had better name recognition in a short amount of time than United Cerebral Palsy
sure.
did. They're like, oh, I don't know what that is. What does that do? So this group got together. They brainstormed. They said, Capstone Academy has such a strong recognition. Why don't we work off of that.
Yeah.
And so the Apple Yard Agency did our logo, and it just
the rest is history, huh?
Yes, and it's been great. Our clients love it. We have surveyed them about the new name and the new logo, and
yeah,
they're like, I really like it.
Sure.
It's fantastic. It's,
and I can understand it's much easier to identify with than than maybe something that has an actual disability in the name. So, well, let's talk about this. So what is a developmental disability?
A developmental disability is something that occurs with a person before their 18th birthday. So maybe they have cerebral palsy, and that's a neurological condition. It doesn't necessarily affect your cognitive or how smart you are.
Right.
But it can also be, you can also have other things going on with your person. Like you could have an intellectual disability, which in the past has been called mental retardation.
Right.
And so the federal government has now passed laws that in any of their correspondence and publications, if some, it has to be identified as an intellectual disability.
Sure.
Autism. That's a condition where children have a difficult time with sensory issues. Mm-hmm. It might be light or sound. It might even be the texture of food in their
right.
mouth. And this can vary from something very mild to something just, you know, where the child doesn't want to focus on you, won't look at you when you're talking to them, to them having violent outbursts and kicking holes in the walls, and the families are afraid to live with
right,
them.
Right.
So it's a gamut of and, but it's typically something that doesn't necessarily get worse. If you have cerebral palsy, that's what you have. It has affected your muscle system
right.
in some way, and you have that. So what you do is you work to help that individual function as best as they can with that disability, learn as much as they can, have the therapies so that they're as independent as possible, and remove them from the possibility of ending up in an institution or some type of environment.
Right.
You know, we give them freedom. We give them a life that has quality.
Yeah. So obviously all of the things that you just named as the disabilities are people that I'm guessing that obviously you guys offer assistance and stuff with, but what, I guess, who's served by you guys directly? And then what are some of these programs that you guys are doing?
Okay. Well, we work with infants all the way up to the senior adult.
Yeah.
So babies, infants to about age 3, we help them with early intervention therapies. So they may be born prematurely. So we're doing something. It might be physical, occupational, speech, behavioral. We work with them too. And the parents, the families.
Right.
Okay. Here's the physical aspect of it. Now, when you're at home, do this.
Right.
To help the baby so they don't lose in between the time they get to see the therapist. From 3 to 5 year olds, we have pre-kindergarten for children with disabilities. We have voluntary pre-kindergarten for typically developing 4-year-olds, and I just defy you to identify a typical child. They are kids are kids,
right.
whether they have a disability or not.
Right.
We have after-school program for school-age kids with disabilities, because a lot of times your typical child care center is not set up to handle that individual child's
sure.
disability.
Sure.
Plus, when you turn 12, a lot of times child care centers don't take older children. Because you're a teenager, you should be able to take care of yourself. But if you have an intellectual disability, you may not be making some good choices when you're home by yourself.
Yeah.
We also have a school-to-work program for high school-age students. These are individuals who are typically between ages of 18 to 22. If you have a disability, you don't have to leave school when you turn 18. You can stay within that system. So a lot of those individuals come to us and we continue their education, but we also help them transition to adulthood. You know, what is appropriate behavior? How do you get a job? You know, how to behave at work? You know, it's raining outside. No, that doesn't mean you stay home from work.
Right.
And then we have adult programs.
Is all of this stuff done at Capstone, or do you guys go out into the field and in other facilities?
We have numerous facilities. for the adult day training. They come to us for the school programs. They come to us. Now, for the infants, for the early intervention training, we can go to the home. And that's usually the best model, is to go to the home, because some of these children are so medically involved, it's not good to take them out a lot.
Yeah, well, and, I could understand. It's probably their safe zone.
Yeah. And families a lot of times don't have reliable transportation. So if I don't have enough money to put gas in a car, Tim doesn't go to his therapy. We don't want to see that happen. You don't have enough money to put gas in your car. Let's go to you and work with Tim in his environment.
Right.
We have 5 group homes for 26, 27 adults who, for whatever reason, can't live at home. They may not have family. Their family may be elderly. They may have lived with the family and attended our program, and the family gets transferred, but the child doesn't want to leave. And when I say child, you know, they may be 30, 40, 50.
Right.
We've got a couple individuals over 60 years of age. And so it keeps them out of a nursing home environment.
Yeah. And I guess it really just depends on how it affects each individual person, huh?
Mm-hmm. Each family situation is unique as well. So.
Yeah. So you said earlier that part of the reason that you guys took it on your own name was, and I heard the word funding. So let's talk about that, because obviously programs like yours don't run on their own, right?
No, they don't. I talk about therapies in the school.
Yeah.
Teachers, we need to be able to pay a competitive salary for the therapist, and we have nurses on staff and caregivers. You know, you need to pay a living wage for someone who is so close to the most vulnerable person there is.
Right.
They need to have a living wage, and we need to be able to provide benefits. Plus, we have facilities where all of this stuff happens. So it does take money. And there are various funding streams. We have contracts with the school districts to do our school programs. We have, contracts with the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. And the individual is evaluated, and it's like, okay, you have this much disability, so you get this much money to buy these services.
Sure.
And so they go out and they shop around, and we're one of the shops that they may come to.
Yeah.
So we get reimbursed for serving them through that. Vocational rehab is another state group that we work with. The Department of Education, insurances help pay some of it, but a lot of times it doesn't nearly cover
everything
that is involved. So we do a lot of fundraising.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. So for all those gaps, because we know you have them, how can people help?
Well, they can call, go to our website, Capstone Adaptive Learning, or Capstone Learning for short, and make a donation. We also are looking for volunteers, but we have special events throughout the years throughout the year.
Yeah. What's the next one you guys have coming up?
Well, we're doing a new one. It used to be called Starfest. It was a telethon and did many, many years. And it's going to have a new twist to it, where we're going to include a lot more media opportunity. And so it's going to be called Thank Our Lucky Stars.
Cool.
And we usually raise, our goal is $170,000. So, and we have VIPs who go out and they ask their friends and family. And I'm sure some of you have been hit up.
Mike's over here shaking his head. He's like, yes, yes.
But we have a golf tournament in the spring. Circle K is one of our corporate sponsors. So they have canisters by the cash register. So drop your coins in there.
Yeah.
But they also have a 5K for us in March. So we've got a, something's keeping us hopping year long.
Sure. And obviously providing opportunities for businesses and stuff to be a part of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's tell everybody where we can find you.
Okay. We are Capstone Learning on the website. We are at Capstone Learn on Twitter. Amber Cooper Hayes in our office is the one that does
she
all
has all
that.
Of this stuff, huh?
You know,
should have brought her with you.
She had to show me how to take a picture and send it to her on the phone.
Yeah.
So we have Facebook.
Yeah.
We have Capstone Academy, Capstone Adaptive Learning, Capstone Milton Child Care Center. We have a child care center.
So basically, if anybody's in the computer and they type in Capstone, they're going to get you guys
here. We better pop up. Now, don't select the one that says Japan. Select the one that says Pensacola.
Yeah, Pensacola. Yeah, U.S. of A., please. So, well, Trudy, thanks for hanging out with us today and letting us, you know what Capstone does. And hopefully somebody listening today has just beelined it right to you.
Yes.
So, all right. So we're going to get into, our final guest here, Mike Van Dyson, who has just been so patiently hanging out and, enjoying himself. Good, morning, sir.
Good morning.
So, you Coastal Payment Systems?
Yes, we are.
I know we all have chips now, right?
Chips are coming.
Yeah. So, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about it.
They actually, roll out, and when merchants were regulated to actually start taking them was October 1st. But banks have not actually provided chips, and the cards that are coming out have both a magnetic strip, the old magnetic strip that's been around for years, and a chip in them. My own bank just got an email yesterday, are not issuing them until next year because somebody has to manufacture all these things, and they've been kind of waiting to issue them until the actual technology has been adopted. So they're still coming.
Well, and I think it's kind of funny because we finally this year decided to catch up with the rest of the European global world.
Exactly.
It's been huge over there, and it has been for years.
It's a 20-year-old technology.
Yeah. So why have it? Because I don't think a lot of people understand why.
Well, because of the fraud. The magnetic stripe that's been around for years is easy to duplicate and steal. I mean, there's readers that people put on the actual machines, the gas pumps and all that.
They're
easy
to duplicate.
That's the big
one I've heard.
And people be amazed. The fraud in there are equal billions globally.
Sure.
That are being stolen. So the chip is actually, more difficult if at this point able to duplicate.
Right.
So that's one safeguard, but also the EMV technology that goes with that, which is actually European Master Visa, is changes the way the transaction actually takes place. Right now, if you use a magnetic stripe card and a business runs that card, what that actual transaction does is reaches out to the network and actually verifies the funds are there. So the merchant will get an accept or decline. Well, the problem with that particular process is when that information comes back to their, whatever it is, their terminal, computer, however they're processing that card information stays in their processor until it is what we call batched out or settled out at the end of the day. So and the scam was, especially in larger cities, a guy would walk into a store saying, I'm your credit card guy, I need to swap out your machine, leave them a bogus machine, take the machine and have access to all this, credit card information.
Right.
The EMV system works the same way, except after it goes out and verifies that the funds are there, it creates a number to go along, a new number every time to go along with that transaction and never returns that card information to whatever the terminal is that's processing it. So the merchant or business does not have that information in their environment anymore.
Yeah. So harder to hack if somebody wants to try to get all that info. So, and I've owned a couple other businesses, so I've understood the whole credit card thing, but I don't think that people realize you guys are constantly changing things out. You're constantly updating this stuff so that somebody like you, I mean, this is a huge industry.
It's
keeping you busy.
It's a tiny word when we talk about credit cards.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a massive globally.
So why Coastal Payment and why somebody like you? Why can't I just call American Express and say, hey, I need a credit card machine?
Well, American Express and Visa, MasterCard, they're card brands. And even the banks that issue the cards and Visa, MasterCard, those brands, don't do the marketing.
Yeah.
We do the marketing. I'm an independent and actually represent different processing companies out there for various reasons. They specialize in different types of equipment systems or what have you. So banks can do a lot. But what I found when I got into business is just like, say, take insurance, for example.
Yeah.
There are your captive type agencies. They only sell their products, which are usually good products, but there are the various independent companies out there that specialize in different things. So that I can sit down with a business, and technology has opened the door into taking payments in all sorts of different ways.
I can do it on my phone now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And one business might use three different ways. They might do it in-house. They might have mobile techs going out and take it on site. So I can help that business determine what kind of system they need and a little more customer service. I was in the financial business before this, before the great collapse.
Yeah. The thing that shall not be named.
There you go. But I always enjoyed working with business people.
Yeah.
So I found this, and so I like, this is a long-term relationship. So I have a relationship with most of my clients, and if they have a problem, whether it be payment, whatever, they can pick up. They have my cell phone number.
Yeah.
They can contact me, and I can kind of know what direction to go to solve their problem. Well,
so how about if I own a business and I do these kinds of transactions and I don't know if I'm getting beat up or robbed? I mean, is this something you can come in and tell me?
Yeah. To tell the truth, as far, you know, I don't know if everybody out there knows, but every time that you take your credit card, pay with your credit card, that particular business pays a fee.
Yeah.
Now there's a flooring fee, what we call interchange. That doesn't change. That amount goes back to the bank that actually issued the card. The brand, Visa, whatever, gets a small percentage also. As processors, we add a little bit on there because we set up the account, we service the account. If you have a problem with your account payment or what have you, you're not going to call your bank. You're not going to call Visa, right, like I said. We're the ones that fix that. So, I can look at a statement and see how you're priced. There's many different ways to be priced.
Yeah, no two ways are the same. I do know that.
Everybody has the same access to pricing, but it's just how you price. So there is a fair way. And of course, when I got in the business, the whole sell, so to speak, was let's save your money. Well, if you're saving a business so much money that they're really not making profit in the actual transaction, they're going to have to start adding some sort of fees. So there are fees on the side. Some are legitimate. Some are not so legitimate.
Yeah, like the convenience fee you always see.
Yeah. And also, I try to, in everything I do, I don't have any kind of long-term contract. That's been big in the business for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I want to take credit cards. Well, you can take it. We'll set you up, but you have a 3-year minimum, 36 month.
Right. And you're locked in.
Exactly. Like a cell phone contract.
Yeah. And then 6 months they jack your rates and you can't do anything about
it. Exactly. All mine are month to month. I find the companies that do month to month because, you know, if we service them properly, people don't like to change anyway.
Yeah. But it's a pain in the butt to get all that stuff changed.
Yeah.
So, well, that should make you pretty competitive then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Try to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than calling Mike, who do I choose to be my processor?
Well, you know,
just call Mike, right?
Yeah. Call Mike.
I set you up there, Mike. I set you up.
And the way I like to look at it is, I like so many things, the only time somebody remembers who we are is when they have a problem.
Sure.
So if they're not having problems, they're happy, there's no reason to call Mike except to set up there. And just like in any business, you know, some people are what we call high maintenance. They call a lot. They're worried until they get into the routine of what's happening sometimes. And oftentimes I'll call and stay in touch with them, just make sure they're okay. Because as long as they're getting payments, you know, swiping that card, their money's going into their bank account.
Right. Going to the right place.
Business.
Yeah.
I don't want to distract. In fact, we had about a year ago in December, we had a lot of machines shut down. And that's another story. They were the certification, all that.
Sure.
And it made me realize again how important that machine sitting on top of that counter is to
that's the gateway,
it's
man. That's
lifeblood.
The cash in the bank.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I try to stay ahead of that and make sure that whatever they're processing and piggybacking on what Aaron said and their company on the green thing, my main push is technology.
Yeah.
Getting away from the paper. I mean, most people out there don't know, but when you sign that credit card receipt, those companies have to keep that for about 18 months.
Yep.
Usually because if there's a dispute on that fraud, whatever, they have to present that signed receipt. And so they have to store it. Well, you know, if you take 2 or 3 credit card transactions a day, that's one thing. But if you're a convenience store doing about 1,300, 1,500, 2,000 a month, it becomes a nightmare. So if you walk into like the big box stores, whatever, they have an electronic
signature. It's all digital, all gets emailed. Yeah.
I set up, I'm working a lot with the medical community, and so they have that same thing. We can set that up at basically at no cost, and they can sign those, which all those receipts are now stored digitally at a click of a mouse, a few numbers. They can find that receipt from at any period of time.
So, yeah.
And that, you know, and besides all the paper, actually those paper receipts, that's, it's thermal paper. They have BPA.
It's already expensive.
And yeah, the chemical in there has caused the, well, they suspect some health hazards. So anytime you can get away from
paper. It's not solar powered.
That,
I mean, Aaron's over here shaking her head. She's like, no, get rid of it. Get rid of it.
So that's it. And in the time I've been, about 5 years in this business, the transition to technology has just been remarkable.
So, and you're the guy that I really want to ask for this, and not just because we talked about it or I read about it, but Apple Pay, Google Pay, is that safe? Are those things safe?
Yes.
Android Pay, whatever it is.
It's just as safe as your credit card, because if you drop your credit card on the ground or lose it or it's stolen, you know, actually, when a business signs an agreement, they're supposed to look, ask for identification every time.
I write CID on the back of card. Maybe once out of every 30.
Right. So, you know, until you realize that that card is gone, report it stolen, it's out there. I know on Apple Pay, the new phones, they require a thumbprint to open up that access. If it can be hacked, I don't know. I mean, the internet, nobody realized the internet was going to be used by a bunch of thieves, you know. So they realize that they're building the technology, and it's coming fast. And that's where they want everything. They want to do away with the cards.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All the information. Probably all our information, driver license, insurance information, will all be in your phones eventually.
Or in your head.
But you know, the thieves are thieves.
Yeah.
You know? But that's the main thing they're working on is security.
So I have it on my phone, and I have not installed it yet, because my thought is, well, if you can lose your wallet and you can lose your phone, and somebody can get into your wallet, they can get into your phone, right? And then, does it house all of your kind of information like that? How do these apps work?
It has all the information your credit card has.
Isn't there? And then you guys have the module things where you just kind of swipe it across and somebody scans it or something?
The machines, okay, we had machines set up there, out there, that only took the magstripe, the swiped red cards. Now the machines that we were replacing that we set in place still take the swipe because the cards are out there.
And I know they got the chip thing
and
where you slide it in the bottom.
And they take Apple Pay or non-contact.
Yeah, which you just wave it over and go. Email, receipt, and all that stuff gets to you, right? Yeah. And then Aaron's happy because you're not taking thermal paper home.
I'm trying to get a solar panel on top of those things.
So, all right. Well, Mike, let's if people are interested in this kind of stuff. And that was my phone just acting up. It got mags. We were talking about it's Apple. It's Google Pay. Let's tell people where they can find you if they want to see your services or see that you can save them some money.
Website's real simple. It is coastalpaymentsystems.com. Office number is 877-392-2737. On Facebook, Coastal Payment Systems, on Instagram, CPS, and Twitter is CPS. Pretty simple.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mike, I want to thank you for coming and hanging out and obviously being the most patient since he was the last one to talk here today. But again, I want to thank all of our guests for coming in today and sharing your stories with us. We are Pensacola Business Radio. You can find us at Pecola Radio X. Or on Facebook at Pensacola Business Radio, or you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. So again, thanks to all our guests for coming in. It's been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.